So this morning, we're going to talk about freedom. How many of you are thankful for freedom?
Yes.
How many of you, we sang about freedom this morning. We sang about freedom. One of the songs, some of the lyrics were saying, I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, but you gave yourself away. When I had no worth, you paid it all for me. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what Jesus has done for us as believers? It's a beautiful picture. The cross, the sacrifice, what Jesus did for us. We couldn't earn it. We didn't deserve it, but still, he gave himself away. So like I said, this morning we're going to talk about freedom. Freedom in Jesus. Freedom in Christ. But we're also going to be speaking on about an enemy of freedom. And that enemy is legalism. Now, legalism isn't something that everyone's so excited to hear in church. Religious mindsets and religious thoughts and legalism. It's not something the church is so happy to talk about, because it can get a little weird. But I'm a brave soul. And I really feel that God wants to give freedom for some of us here today who struggle with legalism. So I already asked how many of you are thankful for the freedom. I think a lot more hands can be raised, but it's okay. It is all right. We'll work through it. I would ask you a question this morning, and I would say, how many of you here are legalistic? Raise your hand if you're legalistic in this room. Brett is the only one that raised his hand. Brett, this whole message is just for you, brother. Truth is, each and every one of us in this room are legalistic to a certain degree. Each and every one of us struggle with legalism, whether we believe it or not. It pops up on Thursday, it'll pop up on a Sunday morning. We may not consider ourselves legalistic, but it still pops up. And every now and then, that word, legalism, rears its ugly head in the church. And my job or my goal this morning, I feel, is God's goal, and to free us from legalism. Is that a good thing? So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for this message, the awesome worship. I just pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts. I pray that you would open our ears, God, our eyes to this thing of legalism. I pray, God, that you would bring freedom. I pray, God, that you would bring grace in this room. And I just pray, Lord, if there's unbelievers in here, I pray that they would hear the word freedom and they would want that word freedom for their lives. And I pray, God, for any believer or Christian in this room, Lord, I pray that they would want freedom as well, Lord, that they would choose freedom. So, Lord, have your way, have your will be done in this morning. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
If we can, let's just close our eyes again. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Lord, I don't want to pray right now. I just want to see if anyone has anything to throw at me. Okay, we're good. I don't see anything. Everyone has empty hands. That's awesome. Lord, protect me. I'm already getting threats. Legalism affects all of us. Let me ask you a question. This will solve our problem right now. If I ask you this question, if I ask, how does God see you this morning? How does God see you this morning? Is he disappointed in you? Is he frustrated in you? Is he upset with you? Did you mess up yesterday? Did you mess up last week? Kind of harboring some... You know what, I'm just not good enough. How does God see you this morning? How do you feel when I ask that question? God is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Make sense? If I ask, how does God see you this morning? Or some of you might say, well, I feel fine. I think God sees me as great. You know, I think God looks at me and he's proud of me because, you know, I do some awesome things. You know, I prayed for a person at 7-Eleven this morning. I bought a coffee for a homeless guy. I mean, he's proud of me. I'm amazing. I played the drums up here. Did you hear me, God? I played the drums. I played it great. Right? I welcome people who walk through the door. God has to be proud of me. The problem with both of those responses is that they assume that God approves or disapproves based on how good we are. So if we're good, then God has a certain way of loving us or a certain way of seeing us. And when we're not good, then God has a certain way of seeing us and a certain way of dealing with us. And it's absolutely not true, but we can all say that we've been there, right? So we might be a little bit more legalistic than we really know. And that's okay. We're going to figure that out. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 8 to 10 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." Not from ourselves. It's a gift from God, right? So there's nothing that we can do or something that we can do or not do to change that. Grace is a free gift given to us by God. Amen? So then what's up with legalism? If we know that there's nothing that God's not going to take away the grace, he's not going to take away the love, then why do we kind of have these emotions of we going back and forth? God loves me, God doesn't. I'm good, I'm not good. I'm bad, I'm good. What's happening in our psyche and who we are? I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, or before I gave my life to the Lord, I thought I was living in freedom. I can do what I want. I can say what I want. I don't care what anybody said. No rules. I can do whatever I want. Who's going to tell me anything? That's freedom. That's freedom. Right? That's the freedom that we all want, right? To be able to do what we want, say what we want. It doesn't matter what I do because I'm grown and I have freedom. But what I didn't know is that before I met Christ, I was basically shackled in sin. I was shackled. I was a slave to sin. And even though I felt free, even though, you know, I can say that I'm free to do whatever I want and say what I want, when I gave my life to the, when God found me, I was basically face to face with him like this, with shackles. So this whole, you know, 19 years of my life, 20 years of my life, you know, I was free. Do whatever I want. Say whatever I want. No one's going to tell me anything. I'm free. Not knowing that spiritually, I was in chains. Spiritually, I was shackled. So then I find Christianity. And in my mind, I'm thinking Christianity is a bunch of rules and regulations. But what I meet is a Savior who loves me. And I couldn't earn it, and I didn't deserve it, but yet he gave himself for me. And then that freedom and that I thought I had basically fell off. And the chains fell off. I'm no longer bound to chains or shackles, and Jesus gave me real, true freedom. And he gave freedom to each and every one of us who's a believer in here, who have said, "Lord, I want you in my life. I want you as my Lord and Savior." Yeah. Freedom. Yeah. You have freedom. Yes, right? Freedom. Good. But still, there's something in our minds, there's something in our heads that still pop up every now and then where we just feel like we're not good enough or that we need to do more or we need to be more. Right? And it's not about being good. It's not about doing more. I have a slide this morning. Let's see if Carlos can jump on it quick. Let's see how fast he is his first day on the job. No pressure, Carlos. Slide says, "God, I need to do more blank." How would you fill that out? How would you fill that out? God, I need to do more Bible reading. How many of us need to do more Bible reading?
Yes.
Legalism. How many of you need to pray more? Legalism. How many need to pray harder? Legalism, right? We have these mentalities of we're never good enough. How many of you guys need to be a better parent? God, I need to be a better parent. Right? God, I need to serve more. I need to join more ministries.
Right.
I need to have a happier smile. God, I need to do. God, I need to do. God, I need to be. God, I need to be. I need to pray. And we start having all these rules when God and Jesus have said freedom over our lives. And then we wonder why we're not experiencing him. And when we come in here, we're afraid. And it's like, oh man, the Holy Spirit's around here trying to dodge him. Because because we put the shackles back on. And Jesus said, freedom. Freedom. It's not about how good you are. It's not about what you do. Okay? You guys with me? So how good is good? Paul tells us how good he was. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 through 11, Paul lets us know, hey, if anyone's going to raise their hand and say, who's good, I'll be the first person to say I'm good. So Paul says, though I myself have reason for such confidence, if someone else thinks that they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law. Faultless, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness, the power of his resurrection, and participation in the sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. So here, basically, Paul's talking about the law, and he's saying, you know what, if anyone's going to claim to be good, it's going to be me. I've done this, I was circumcised, I was the smartest dude, I was the most religious guy, I had the biggest religious muscles. You know, if anyone's going to say that they're good, that's me. If anybody wants to share resumes, check out my resume.
Yeah.
And he's saying, but all of that didn't matter until he met and came into a relationship with Jesus. So it's not about how good we are. Let's just get that out of the way. It's not about how good you are. Jesus is not down there with a tally like, oh, Ken, 2 good points. Jordan, -2 good points. It's going to be you. So what's the deal with legalism? What is legalism? Legalism is basically an external set of rules that one tries to uphold. This is how we dress. How many of you have been to a church that tells you how to dress?
Right? Yeah.
Right? Not bashing, we're just talking. So this is how we dress. This is how we talk. This is how you're supposed to look.
Yeah.
Legalism is an attempt to gain favor or position with God. Or attempt to impress God by trying to make yourself better by doing certain things that make you look good in the sight of God. Right? That's legalism. You make little rules for others, and you make rules for yourself. And, you know, this is how we talk, and this is how we dress. And, you know what, I don't like red hair. You can't have red hair. And then, you know, you go to God and say, look at this person with the red hair. She dyed her hair red. God, I don't have red hair. I'm better than her. Right? It sounds funny, but that's what happens. That's what happens. It happens in the church. Little things just start popping in our minds, and we start making these little rules and we have these mindsets, and they're called religious mindsets that a lot of us need to break, and a lot of us need to be just aware of it.
Yeah.
So when it pops up, we know that we can bash it back down. Basically, legalism is we make a set of man-made rules for yourself and for others that God doesn't. That's basically what legalism is. And in our Bible days, where we see Jesus and we see Paul, they're battling legalism. They're battling legalism. They're having this fight of Jesus being in front of the people saying, "This, I'm all you need." And then the other Christians are saying, "No, that sounds good, but we also need all of this." So we see Jesus battling these guys. These guys are religious leaders. They look good. They play the part. They look like they know what they're doing. They act like they know what they're doing, but deep down, they don't know Jesus. Yeah. They're missing the number one thing they need. Basically, when we read the New Testament, we're seeing the church in Galatia. They're talking about, you know, they're teaching that Jesus wasn't enough. Salvation, Jesus isn't enough for salvation. It depends on what we do. We have to earn it. We have to do more things to earn salvation. And when we read the Bible, there's no word legalism in the Greek or Hebrew text, so we're not going to see that word legalism in the Bible. But if you know, if you ever read the New Testament, there's tons of legalism in there, right? No? Maybe? Tons of legalism in the Bible. Jesus is talking to some of the Pharisees in Matthew 15, verse 1 through 9. It says, "Some Pharisees and teachers of religious laws now arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. And they asked him, why do your disciples disobey our old age tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand washing before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandment of God? For instance, God says, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, 'Sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you.' In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, so they teach man-made ideas as commands from God.'" So we see here, just in one conversation between Jesus and the Pharisee, that he's battling these guys. He's battling these guys. And like I said, these guys think they know. They think they got it down. You know, they walk and talk like they got it all together. But the problem is they walked and they talked like they got it all together, but basically it was external. It was an external relationship. It was an external knowledge. It was not an internal knowledge of who Jesus was. So if they acted like they got it all together, if they talked like they got it all together, if they wore the nice proper suits and clothes and all that and combed their hair and trimmed their beard, then they got it all together, then nobody would ask any questions. If they did certain things, then they'll be right with God. But that's not the case. The battle between legalism, the problem with legalism is that it highlights only the external. Legalism, if you're a legalist, you only focus on the external. No one ever questions or asks, what about the internal? What's in their heart? Who are they? It's always focused on the outer. It's always focused on the external. Our religious thoughts, our religious mindsets that we might have, it's always on the external. Right? Am I crazy? Am I the only one that ever paid attention to this? It's always on the external. Basically, when Jesus says you're good enough, legalism says, no, you know what? There's still room for you to do better. That's what legalism is. When Jesus says you are accepted, legalism says, no, you need to do more. When Jesus says freedom, legalism says chains. When Jesus says freedom, legalism says chains. Now, that might be for you, or you might be placing the chains on other people. But Jesus says freedom. Freedom. I have given you freedom. Let's read Galatians 5. Paul the Apostle is writing to the church in Galatia, and he's battling against some religious mindsets, the same legalistic stuff that we're talking about now. He's basically battling something called the law. Some of you know about battling the law. It's not that kind of law. It's the law of rules. See, in the Old Testament, there were about 613 different laws that of specific mandates and specific rules and specific regulations, guidelines for God's people to follow. And they had to live according to those laws to be right with God. And that was in the Old Testament. That was the law. And then so the Jewish Christians in Galatia somehow fell back into that legalistic thinking. How can they become more acceptable to God? What can the church do to earn God's favor? And Paul was saying that there's nothing that people can do. There's nothing that people need to do. Jesus has took care of it all. It's something that only Christ can do. So it's something that only Christ can take care of. And all we have to do is accept this gift of his son. So Jesus has, you know, just been crucified. They've seen it. They heard about it. They've allowed that experience to transform and change their lives. But yet somehow, some way, they started going back. Started going back into the religious mindset. Started going back under the rules and the regulations. And that's why Paul's writing to them. But it was hard for these Christians in Galatia to accept the answer from the time. It was hard for these Christians in Galatia to accept the answer. Because from the time of Abraham, their relationship with God has been defined by rules and regulations. Circumcision, laws, you had to keep the rule-keeping regarding the Sabbath, what foods you could eat. It was relationship based on rules, not a relationship based on the person. Now, I don't want to say that the law is all bad, because basically what the law does is the law points us to Jesus. The commandments, the rules, the regulations, it points us back to Jesus, because we don't know how bad we truly are until somebody tells us how bad we are. So if I didn't know if it was bad to steal a car, now I know that, I should not covet, so I can't steal. So basically the law isn't a terrible thing, but when we're talking about freedom and then we go back into doing the law and putting the law yoke of slavery and bondage on us, then we're not experiencing the freedom that Christ had. Romans 7:7 says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been if I would not have known what sin would was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.'" That's Romans 7:7. And we understand that Jesus didn't come to put an end to the law, but he came to fulfill the law. And that's why it's important to understand who Jesus is, and that's where the freedom comes from. Matthew 5:17, it says, "Don't misunderstand why I have come." This is Jesus talking. "I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose." In the NIV version, it says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Not rules, not regulations. But Jesus is the freedom. But a lot of times, as we read in the Bible, and a lot of times in our life, Jesus, some way, shape, or form, is not good enough. It's not good enough for us. And we just try to add a sprinkle, just a little bit of rules, though. Just a little bit. Because, you know, Jesus and freedom, that sounds good, that sounds great. But you know what? You know what would be really better, though? If everybody had to wear suits. You know, just in case. Just to make sure, you know, just so we can present ourselves before God and we're good. No, Jesus. 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 Jesus plus anything is nothing. Yeah. But we have a problem with that in our minds. Sometimes we just need to do a little more. Just add a little bit more. Jesus plus anything is nothing. But Jesus plus nothing is everything. Yeah. And that is all we need. And when we're talking about freedom, Jesus. Yes. That's the answer. That's why his name's up in lights. That's what we're about in this church. Jesus. Legalism every now and then pops its head up, rules and regulations, focusing on what's the outside. Tattoos, piercings, hair color, dancing. You know, you couldn't dance back in the day. You can't dance. Right? Movies. We do certain things. We cut certain things out of our lives, trying to prove to God that I'm better than everybody else. Do you know that Ken dances? A lot. There's videos. But I don't dance. I boogie. No, I don't dance. Because I don't think, I don't feel that that is correct behavior before the Lord. So God must love me a little bit more than he loves Ken. Legalism. Just starts. Just a little bit. And we just kind of think, well, I would never dance. I'm not dancing. We're trying to prove to God that we're good enough. We're trying to prove to God that we're real, that we're serious. We're trying to get saved enough. We're trying to get free enough. And we start making rules and regulations, and we hold those rules and regulations to other people. I'm better than him. I'm doing more in the church than her. I dress better than him. Why is he leading worship? I sing louder than Iverson. That means something. You know how loud Iverson sings in here? But my worship is more acceptable because I'm louder than him. Just rules and regulations that we put. Look at him. Look at her. God, look at me. Do you see me? Do you see what I'm doing? That guy cut me off. I didn't say one cuss word. Freedom comes when we are transformed by the Holy Spirit from the inside out. It's not an external thing. Christianity is an inside out transformation. Legalism and religion focus on the outside work. Somebody comes in here, gives their lives to the Lord, and then we just follow them around, just waiting for them to mess up. You know, they stub their toe on a speaker. Oh, F word. Ooh! No, hey, they just got transformed. They just gave their lives to the Lord. Let's breathe some life. Right? But the same thing that when we do it, then we start thinking, oh man, God hates me. God hates me. I need to start doing a little bit more. Now I need to, you know, that's legalism. That's religious mindsets. It's religious mindsets. Legalism and religion focuses on the outside work. It's basically like an outside paint job. You guys ever remember the show Pimp My Ride? Right? They used to get like old junky cards, like a 1992 Toyota Tercel or something, and they paint it all up. They put speakers in it. They might put some hydraulics in it and a fish tank in it, and it looks cool, and you're just like, cool, man, and the exhibit's all in there, and he's excited about it. But they never change the transmission or the engine in that thing, right? They never change the battery in it, and it looks good on the outside. Wow, yeah, okay, it's hopping up and down. There's fish tanks swimming in there. But like the minute they drive it home, I have to believe that engine is just toast, right? Because they never ever fix the inside. They never fix the engine or the transmission or what's going to get it. But people just, they care about what's on the outside. Christianity is an inner thing. It's an internal change and transformation. Freedom removes the chains of legalism. It puts the chains, freedom removes the chains. Legalism puts the chains back on. We need rules and we need regulations, and we just need to do better. That's what legalism says. Legalism says, I need to do better. He needs to do better. I don't like this. I don't like the color of gray in this church. I don't know why Jesus is in lights. That's kind of weird. I don't like this big red rug. I don't like the music. It's too loud. You know what? I don't like the fact that the pastor wear hats. I don't, I. And that's what legalism is. It's just rules of I. And it's never about Jesus. It's never about God. It's never about, well, what does Jesus say? What does God say? It's I. It starts with I. Legalism starts with I. A lot of times I feel that, freedom is almost too much freedom. There's just so much freedom, and it makes walking with the Lord very difficult because there's just so much freedom. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing most times. I don't know if I'm being the best Steve that I possibly can be. So I really feel that sometimes if we had check boxes, if we can just check the boxes, And we can go throughout our day and just check the boxes. It would make serving God a lot easier. Wouldn't it? Tell me it wouldn't. Because you can go to sleep at night knowing that you did your job. You checked all the boxes. You did it. You're good. I know I'm good before the Lord. But there's no check boxes. There's no checklist. There's no worksheet. It's be free. Be free. I just realized that I never read Galatians 5:1. Freedom. Let's read Galatians 5:1. Enough of me talking. Let's hear what God says. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You are running the race so well. What has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I am trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted if I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ? No one will be offended. I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. For you have been called to live in freedom. Somebody say amen. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So just to be clear, being free and having freedom doesn't mean you're able to just sin all you want. Right? Some of the legalistic people are in there waiting for me to say that. They're like, well, say it. Say that you can't just do whatever you want. Right? Being free from legalism doesn't mean that I'm free to disobey God. Being free from legalism doesn't mean that I'm free to sin and to sleep around with whatever I want and drink whatever I want and smoke whatever I want and just live my life because I got freedom. Because then that would be chains again. But it just being free from legalism means that Jesus' work on the cross is enough for our lives. It means you are free to choose Jesus. In Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40, Jesus is talking to the disciples. Says, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." The disciples were asking, well, what's the best commandment? We have 10 commandments. We have all. What's the best commandment? If we just do, you know, make it easy for us. What's the best commandment? Love God with all you have, with all your heart, all your soul, and love your neighbor. When we do those things, when we love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and we love our neighbor the same as we do ourselves, we don't want to go back into chains. We don't want to do sin. I don't want to covet anymore because I'm glad my neighbor has that nice, you know, Lamborghini. I don't want to steal it. I'm happy for them. Right? So being free from legalism and religious mindsets doesn't mean, well see, he said it. We can do whatever we want. No, that's not what it means. But it means that we're free. It means that we don't have to put on those shackles ever again. Living in the freedom of Christ shouldn't make me or us want to sin anymore. It just means the yoke of slavery and bondage is lifted. The weight of always trying to impress is gone. The hunger to sin is removed, and now I get to experience a relationship with Jesus that is not hindered by religious expectations, that's not hindered by legalism, that is not hindered with me always feeling like I need to do more, and I need to be more, and I need to sign up for things. It means I have a relationship with Jesus. I'm free to give all that I am to him. I get to walk out this beautiful relationship with my Savior on the daily. I'm free to give all my fears and failures to him. Every bad part of me, every good part of me, that is freedom. It has nothing to do with any rules, laws, or regulations. It's the freedom. Christianity isn't about rules and regulations. Before I gave my life to the Lord, I thought, you know, Christians are crazy, they're hypocrites, they have tons of rules. They don't ever follow the rules. But then I gave my life to the Lord. And Jesus found me where I was at. And he realized that I was locked up in chains and I had a yoke of slavery on me. And then he gave me true freedom. And never once in this last 13 years of me serving Christ have I felt that I needed to follow a bunch of rules or I needed to look to the person to the left or right of me and say, you know what, I need to do better than him. Or hey, you know what, that guy over there with the tattoos, he shouldn't be up on stage. Freedom with Jesus broke religious mindsets that I may have had, and I know a lot of us struggle with, but I was free. Christianity isn't about rules and religions. It's about working. It's not about working hard. It's not about striving to be better and to position ourselves to be better. It's not about checking boxes. It's about Christ captivating my heart, Christ captivating my life. And when that happens, no matter where you are today, no matter where you find yourself, no matter what you're struggling with, when Christ captivates your heart and your life, you will find freedom. I'm not sure if I did a good job, but I feel that the Lord wants to speak to a lot of us here today. Probably better him than me anyway. But if you find it, let's just close our eyes. This idea of freedom. When Jesus says you're good enough, chains and legalism and rules and regulations say, no, you're not that good. You need to try a little harder. If anybody of you feel that way, that you need to try a little harder, if there's anybody in that room that gets that thought in their mind saying they need to try a little bit more, I would like to pray for you this morning. If that's you, you can just stand up. Cool. If there's anybody in here who feels that God is always unhappy with them, and they struggle with the idea of just God's infinitive grace upon your life, and you feel like you need to jump through hoops, and you feel like you need to just do more things so you can be seen and so God can see you and be proud, I would like you guys to stand up. If any of you this morning have put any extra weight or chains on yourself because you feel like you need to be better enough, you need to be position yourself to be better, you want God to see you, why don't you stand up? Parents who feel like they're not good enough, all we do. Anybody here this morning who's just struggling with this idea of freedom, why don't you stand up? I feel like there should be just a whole lot more, and I'm not trying to get everybody to stand up just for my sake. I just want to see some freedom in this room. You are loved. You are accepted. You don't deserve it. You couldn't earn it. But Jesus saw willing to die on that cross for you. Jesus felt willing to bring that freedom over you so you never have to put on those shackles and those chains again. Whether that be ministry, whether that be parenting, whether that be working, freedom. It doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want and sin any way you want, but that means that you have the freedom to be captivated by Jesus, allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through you, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, allowing the Holy Spirit to whisper sweet nothings in your ear. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to try harder. You don't need to position yourself to be blessed by God. God already wants to do the blessing. Lord, I just pray, God, freedom in this room. For those of us who are standing up, I pray, God, that they would be able to silence the legalism that may pop up in their lives. I pray, Lord, for anybody who may have been ever legalistic to anybody in this room or in the outside world, God. Lord, I pray for freedom. I pray for freedom, Lord. Freedom to experience Jesus in the way that you want to be experienced. Freedom to lift your hands in worship. Freedom to sing as loud as you want during worship. Freedom to open up your Bible and be okay with reading two verses instead of three chapters. It's not about hoops. It's not about doing more. It's not about being better than the person to the left and your right. But it's about having a life that is transformed from the inside out. A life that is captivated by Jesus. Lord, I pray freedom over your children today, God. Lord, I just pray that if any word that came out of me this morning, Lord, was not of you, I pray it would just fall. Lord, I just pray, God, that our church can continue to move forward and continue to grow and mature, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would all be able to just grab a hold of this freedom that you've given us and the world can be changed, God. Our communities can be changed. Our lives can be changed, Lord. How we live on a daily basis, Lord, can be transformed because we don't have to worry about the shackles and the chains anymore, Lord, but we can be free in you. We don't have to position. We don't have to push. We don't have to just mess with what you're doing, God. We are free. If there's anybody in this room here this morning that doesn't know Jesus, maybe it's your first time here. Maybe it's your first time hearing a message. We're talking about freedom. This morning, we're talking about freedom of those who know Jesus, freedom of people who are in Jesus. And maybe you might say, you know what, I don't know if I know Jesus, but I want to know Jesus. If anybody in this room is like that, if you can just raise your hand, I would like to just have a prayer for you. Anybody in here? We are all saved. We are all called free in this room. Lord, we thank you and we glorify you. Lord, we give you this day. Lord, I pray, God, this freedom would change us and challenge us, Lord, not to do better, not to do more things, God, but just to be better. To be captivated by who you are, Lord. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Legalism isn't easy to teach on because it can get a little weird. I just know in my own life I can be very legalistic. I know that I can put myself on a pedestal sometimes, or I can put myself at the bottom of a pedestal very easily. And I just know that in God there's no positions, there's no nobody who's better. Just because somebody's up here on this stage doesn't mean that they're any better than anybody sitting down. And that would be a lie from the pit of hell. But I also know that our minds can go that way. Our religious mindsets can think that people are better and so, and that's not the case. We are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen? So be free. Galatians 5:1 says, stay free. And we'll see you guys next week. Have a good day.